This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young. And as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in to a brand new episode. Today's episode, I do have life coach, Trontrice Williams-Sims. Trontrice's story was so powerful and so impactful. For those always interested in learning more about life coaches and understand what they do, this is the episode for you. Again, Trontrice, thank you for your time. All of her information will be in the episode description. And she's doing a lot of amazing things. So this is just the beginning. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. Appreciate y'all. All right. Well, Trontrice, thank you so much for joining. I am super excited to connect with you and learn more about your story. My first question I'd like to ask all my guests is, who are you to the world?
I am Trontrice. I am a certified life coach. I teach life skills. My life skills portion of the business is specific to those that are in transitional phases. So think about people who are former inmates, at-risk youth, dealing with grief, divorce, homeless. It could be homeless women with kids, more specifically, or just anyone trying to navigate like their career path and figure out their next steps.
And what got you into this field? I mean, it's a backstory, you know, as kids
growing up,
we're inspired by so many different things. What got you into doing life coaching? Because that is such a profound field. Was it something you always wanted to do? Were you naturally a helper growing up as a kid? You know, things like that.
No. So in my corporate, that seems like a lifetime ago now. But in my corporate role, I did a lot of mentoring and coaching and developing talent. And realized I was really good at it just from the feedback I was getting and also all the success stories, seeing people really grow and their roles. And I mean, people that were like frontline entry level employees, like really just grow, you know, in their career and move up the ladder. Also personally, because I cared more about the person. And I really helped those. I noticed people were grieving. You know, this is real life, right? So you're working with people who maybe they lost a sister, they were going through a divorce, they were having a kid, their dad is sick, like all of these, you know, personal problems that they were bringing into the workplace. I noticed that I really was really good at helping them, you know, become whole again, you know, especially being their leader, giving them that space to kind of feel and live. And so after some time, I was like, okay, All right, I think I like this more than the work that I was hired to do. But the life coaching business, Rashad, it started actually through grief. My sister passed away in December of 2022, and I was going through grief counseling, and my therapist asked what I was passionate about, and I was like, I'm not passionate about anything. At that time, I was in a really dark place. I mean, if you have ever experienced grief, especially unexpected from someone really close to you, it can take you out. It takes you to a very, very dark place. And I wasn't passionate about anything. And so she asked me the question. She rephrased it and she said, well, what were you passionate about? And I said, helping people achieve their goals. I really like doing that. And so she said, a life coach. And I honestly didn't know what a life coach was. I thought it was just this term people threw around on the internet. And so maybe that's aging myself. But yeah, I didn't know that was a real thing at all. And I had to go look it up and do some research. And I was like, oh, okay. So after some procrastination and of course going through my own grief phase, I decided to look it up and I took a certification course. And then decided to start my business some time later. Shortly after forming the company, I was job eliminated. And it was so interesting because when I was listening to your one of your previous interviews with Andre mentioned that he was fired in August. And I'm like, wow. And that's a hard thing, but I totally believe that everything happens the way it's supposed to. And I believe that it was divine for me that God was like, okay, you're taking your time with this business. I'm going to remove this obstacle, which is your 9 to 5, to get you to dive in, to pursue this business. So that's the
Wow.
backstory.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. I think that's it's always profound how things connect, and oftentimes it is in those moments of grief where a whole new evolution kind of starts with self. So definitely one, just send my condolences. I know that's still just a big thing, but two, just just really just want to acknowledge just the strive and the beauty that takes into making those steps. So I think that's great. I will say, the episode Andre was interesting because we talked about it afterwards. I was like, I'm gonna post that clip, and I said, I feel like I'm gonna open up a floodgate of other people who are gonna share that story when it comes to just having their job eliminated or just being laid off randomly, because a lot of people don't often talk about that, especially on social media. You don't never talk about, oh yeah, on a random day, like, yeah, I got fired from my job today. Most people try to hide that part of them because of the image that they like to portray. I think my question for you is, in that process of you losing your job into funding and starting the business of life coaching, what was probably the biggest thing that you learned about yourself during that time?
I'm not as smart. At least I feel like I probably am, Rashad. But in the corporate space, I feel like I probably reached the glass ceiling anyway. But it was like learning everything new, right? This wasn't me just taking any of that into this, even though that kind of led me to this path. But I don't really think I leveraged any of that, other than just the people component of it. So starting the business has been such a huge learning curve. And the structure you have in a corporate job, you have your meetings, you step away for your breaks or whatever you may do, right? You just have this structure and that whatever that 9 to 5 is for anyone. And so just like getting up and just like, now what? What do I do? And it only in recent months I realized how important it is to have a schedule. So I had to put myself on a schedule. Literally, this is the time for like prayer, meditation, breakfast, workout, like devote to the business, because the day would get ahead of me, and before you know it, I'm just out of time and realizing, oh, it's 4 o'clock, but no, you're an entrepreneur. So you don't get to log out, and clock out. You have to keep going. So really structure, and just having to learn everything, pretty much as I go.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I learned, just connecting with all people who are doing entrepreneurship. It's like you have this newfound freedom that maybe that is often glamorized in the sense of like, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur, I get to do all the things I want to do, but realizing like, oh, I have to do this in order to sustain a certain lifestyle or to make ends meet. What I think is just a great thing that people learn about. I guess my next question for you is that knowing what you know now, what is one piece of advice you would have told yourself 20 years ago?
Oh,
Or
that's
your
a good
past self
one.
20 years ago, what you tell yourself now?
Oh, wow. That's a good one, Rashad. 20 years ago? Let me see how old. Now I tell you my age, Rashad, but let me see. I would say do it anyway, whatever that is. That's like something when you get older, you realize that you should do more of, and you do, fortunately, if you get it finally, you do more of whatever that is. You decide that you're not going to be, confined by other people's views or standards, of you, and you just do it. You just have a, I don't give a attitude, about things respectfully, but you realize you can just do things and feel good about your decision making and not be so guarded. Because how would this decision affect this person or this person in my life when ultimately it's your life and you really need to just do it, whatever that is?
Now, my next question for you is, when did that light bulb click for you to not care about what people think?
See, I think you're trying to ask me how old I am. I
I
think
promise
that's
you I'm
what
not.
it is.
No,
But
no.
you know what? It's relevant to the, I'm joking. I really don't care about that. But I would say 43 was the age. And I was sad that it took that long. So a part of the whole life skills, teaching life skills, that journey is about helping women really, identify their confidence and their whys and to do whatever it is that they want to do sooner. So they can let go of all the expectations that other people may have for them. Once you get to that point, it's so freeing. Like your whole life changes.
See, I wouldn't even guess that age, honestly. Just to make a sidebar, I wouldn't know. I do think that's beautiful though. And I often tell people, once it just clicks, it clicks. I know that we always say, like, yeah, I wish we would have learned that earlier, but I think we do have to go to certain experiences for that to happen. And when it does happen, it is a lot more freer. So since you do work with women in the space, what are some common things they do come to you about in regards to life coaching?
Confidence, a lack of confidence. A lot of women, unfortunately, have had like bad relationships, whether it's with parents or a significant other, even with their kids. So I just to be clear, it has nothing to do with the mental health aspect because some people still in my life don't know what I do. I am not a therapist, although it feels like that at
Yeah,
times.
that's
So
true.
I'm not unraveling these old wounds and we're not trying to figure out how you got, that's not what I do. I would say confidence would be the biggest. That is something that we have to tap into. And it's important to get with the individuals when they're younger too. I notice like if I can just grab those high schoolers and work with them. But yeah, it's usually helping them to identify the person that they truly are. And they just haven't tapped into that person and start with giving them the foundation and the skills to get there. And this is the thing. It's like goal setting, Rashad, but I can't do this by myself. It's not even, I want to say it's a partnership, but it's really not a partnership. It has to be all the work on them. They have to be ready. I've had people who thought they were ready, and it's just not going to work unless they're all in. And so that is something that I think what I've seen most women deal with. There's a great lack of confidence, and it comes from many, many sources. And it's not, I think cliche people think it's about appearance, but confidence could be your education level, your social status. It could be the fact that you're a single parent or you are a divorced woman over 50 years old or something like that. Your finances, right? So it's a number of things that could be a component of why this person may be lacking confidence.
No, I think that's well said. And I also want to just emphasize, I really appreciate you expressing that you're not a therapist. I do think oftentimes it does get a little conflicting for counselors and life coaches. And I think sometimes life coaches get an unnecessary flack on something because their job is to help them navigate through life. And with counseling, like myself and other people in that space, our goal is to go through the deep roots and like really figure out their problems. So I think that's always important to separate. Second part is, I think, yeah, you mentioned confidence being the biggest thing. I'm surprised it's more than just the appearance part. I think naturally, when you think about those things just from the outside in, when you think of people who struggle with confidence, it's like themselves looking at themselves in the mirror. I don't like how I look, how I feel about myself. And so you mentioned foundation. What would you say is the number one way to create that foundation to building confidence?
Identify what they want, first and foremost. So if I was to use like a specific example, I guess I don't want to use like weight or the physical thing
Sure.
much, but social, let's use that one for example. Some people, they lack social skills. They get very uncomfortable going in front of people in a social setting. And it could be like a restaurant, right? Just
Right.
going out. So if you have someone that is single and they are not confident, they don't want to put themselves out there. They do not want to go to concerts solo or dinner solo, the movies. So everything has to be done with someone. And just the thought of them doing something alone is just very, very frightening. Also, even if they're paired with, and I'm thinking of a specific client at this time, so as I talk, so, but even if they're paired with a friend, they'll go out and then the friend will be social and kind of talk and pull them into, and then they would kind of shrink or fall back because they're just not like comfortable with talking to strangers. So part of that is identifying like, hey, what do you want to accomplish? Do you want to be able to, be more social in these type of settings versus, maybe one-on-one and just kind of talking to a person? And so it's been interesting to see because it's so much. I'm trying to keep it condensed here and not kind of unpack this whole folder.
Please do. I'm always interested. Okay, I think it does matter though for people to really understand.
So, it's okay. So, the comfort level of just the person's, how they feel about themselves, I'll say that, right? At that level of comfort. And this person is highly educated and very successful in their career and talk to people every day for a living in sales, matter of fact, right? But when it comes to, and just in their personal life, in a social setting, they don't like to engage, if approach, or to kind of start conversations. So I think, just leaving, sometimes, we pull poor, excuse me, and I'm originally from New Orleans, so you're going to get a little bit of that NO dialect in
I hear it a little bit.
so
It's
they pour so much of themselves into work, and I think they just kind of like clock out, and there's nothing left after work. So when they do go out, it's hard for them to engage with individuals. So it's like, okay, try these, techniques, and we'll kind of walk through the things that they're comfortable with, and then have these little experiments, and having them do it like some homework, and then come back, and we kind of talk about it and unpack. So this person's getting better, but again, you gotta be ready. And if we agree that you should be taking these steps and you're not doing it, then thank you for paying me because I appreciate it. But you're not going to get what you want out of this if you're not ready to commit to it. So I recently did, I captured this video and I was saying, you have to fake it till you make it. I think some people disagree with that, but it works. I'm just going to tell you, you have to put yourself out there and you have to just talk and meet people and be social. And eventually it'll start to feel natural, but you have to start somewhere. And the person next to you, they don't know you, and chances are don't even care. They're just there for the food or the drink. So you're there for the same thing. It's nothing wrong with just saying hello, and you can strike up a conversation over what you ordered, or have you been to this restaurant before? It's not that complex.
You just open up a Pandora's box. I'm gonna try to minimize the
Oh no.
no, can I have so yeah, so when I have some women or some clients of mine, and we talk about this all the time, but it's always centered around relationships, right? Because I just think that's where my interest kind of goes with them and what they talk about, and they talk about that often. Like, I go to these public spaces and I want to engage with people. However, like, I feel like they need to come to me because and they don't just have to be just men, it's just people. Like, sometimes there's this I tell them this in a kind way. Like, I feel like sometimes there's like this entitlement we have with ourselves where we want people to come to us to show interest in things like that. And I tell people the only way you're going to overcome those things of interactions or conversations is, like you mentioned, going out there, asking questions. You'd be surprised how a simple conversation leads to opportunities and things like that. Do you find that a lot in your space with the women that you work with? And I'm going to turn it more towards the dating side. Like, do you feel like that's what they kind of struggle with from a social connection piece, kind of like waiting on people to come to them about certain opportunities and things like that, or just to talk to them, etc.?
No, not really.
Okay.
I would say from my experience, it has been that they're just not open,
Ah.
because of past trauma.
Of course.
the sign up for some sessions with Rashad Young. Just I would say, yeah, they're so closed off because of past
Yeah.
experiences that they're not even interested. I think that I find that to be so sad personally. But they're just not interested in being open to even a conversation, because they tend to put like all men into this group,
Oh,
right?
you don't say.
In this from these experiences. And so, and I listen, let me tell you a little bit, little excerpt here or sidebar. So
Sidebar.
for me, I was married a very long time, so I think I have such a unique perspective because I haven't been in this tainted water, like so many people claim that it is. So for me, I've had really good
Oh my.
experiences, and even the ones that I would say wouldn't be ideal, I've learned from them. So they're lessons. It's all about perspective with me. And so I just take away like, okay, this is what I learned about me. This is what I learned about dating or this person. And I just have these building blocks, of the lessons that I've learned, and it brought me to a very, very good place. But I'm able to share, and sometimes I think it comes across like I'm just in La La Land because I am just so like optimistic about things. But it's perspective. It really
Just a
comes
second.
down to it. Do you? If you see it this way versus seeing it a different way, really that could influence the outcome of how you feel overall.
100%. I would agree. I know he tailed off a little bit, but I think it's true though, because I don't like generalizations. I hate it. It's just a strong despise. Like, any client that I talk to, when they start off with all anything, I immediately fix it. Cause my question is always, okay, if we're looking at the dating side, okay, what is your, I hate the word type, but that's what it is. Like, what is your type? What has been the experience with that type? And why do you keep going back? That's the question to ask. And I said, because of your limited experience, because it's not everybody, it's one or 1 to 10 people, whatever, you've now made a overall assumption that this is how everybody is going to be. Or you take what your friends say and you're like, oh, well, they're all the same. Everybody's the same. It's like, well, no, that's not always the case. And so I do think a lot of people miss out on, again, just good overall connections. Even if it doesn't work out, again, like you mentioned, it is just an experience, it's a perspective, it's something to learn. Everybody we meet isn't going to be our husband or wife. That's just not realistic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's go back to the vote. So you said you're from New Orleans. I'm always fascinated with New Orleans. I've been there a couple of times. I think it's a great city. What is something that you have taken from your hometown into your adult life that's important to you? Maybe something from New Orleans, like the culture, just some what value from home you keep very close to you.
Culture for sure. I believe, oftentimes I'll say people from New Orleans. I use that term a
Yeah.
lot. And it's probably not just people from New Orleans, it's probably Black people some of the time, right? But I would say, so I grew up poor and I was one of those kids. I remember an episode of The Cosby Show and Bill Cosby was like, "We're rich, you're not rich." Well, I had that type of conversation with my mom growing up where she was like, "We're poor." And I'm like, "We're poor? What do you mean?" You know, I grew up across the street from the projects and we stayed in a home that my mom was renting. And in New Orleans, I don't know if you're very familiar with a lot of the architecture of the houses, but they're like these shotgun houses. And our house was a shotgun house. And for your audience, if they're not familiar, it's every room leads to the next room, right? They're not compartmentalized. It's just the living room you walk through, then there's the bedroom, the bathroom, the kitchen, and things like that. And so we lived across the street from the projects, and I had friends that it was like a girlfriend and her two siblings where they shared a bedroom. So it was three in a bedroom. And I didn't share a bedroom with my siblings. We all had our own bedroom. So to me, I felt more privileged than some of the people that I saw in the project. So I didn't have this awareness that I was poor. And so my mom, you know,
Oh, dude.
shared that. Yeah. And so growing up poor, when we would get dressed up, we took a lot of pride in our appearance. So if you notice anyone, typical people I know from New Orleans, we always dress really well. We put a lot into our appearance.
For sure.
And it's not everyone. I'm not gonna say it's one size fits all, but in the hood, it was always, you know, you just had to present well, you know, whether you had the material things or not, you presented well. So for me, I think taking that with me in the workplace and then just in my personal life, it just kind of stuck with me. And it made me interested in fashion, not making clothes or anything, but I'm very creative with recreating clothes. So I'll buy clothes and probably spend more money on tailoring it because I go to my seamstress and I'm like, cut this, sew this, split this, chop this. I do all these things. And so that creativeness, I believe, came from just growing up without, and then always wanting to present well. I hope I answered your question,
You
but
did. No,
like,
you did. You
yeah,
did.
that part of it. And I noticed that from like my peers and my family, like we all have that swag about us, and I think that it's uniquely because of our experiences growing up in New Orleans.
No, for sure.
And I only
No.
say that because outside of New Orleans, it seems where I'm in Texas. I'm in Cypress, Texas, which is right outside of Houston. I've been
Houston,
here since 2013. But
Okay.
I noticed that, you know, people would say, you know, things, and it seemed to come from a place of like, I don't know, it's like it's extravagant, but it's not. It's just my regular swag. You know what I mean? So not extravagant, it's just my regular swag, but I'm not going to the grocery store, you know, with my hair tied up, which I don't have hair, but you know what I mean, Rashad, you know.
I get what you said. I
Yeah,
got
I'm
you.
just presenting when I walk out the door.
I mean it, that's home for you. Like that's just part of your culture. I'm from St. Louis, so I know that New Orleans and St. Louis aren't the same. I know that people, but I know the commonality is Mardi Gras and there's culture, but I have a very deep love for New Orleans. Just the music, the food.
Food,
I need to go back there.
definitely. Absolutely, the food,
The
like no
food will
place
do that.
else. Yeah.
What is one piece of advice that you were given as a child that has stuck with you now? Did you keep close to your heart?
Okay, you're coming with these questions. One piece of advice. I don't know. I do not know.
One piece of advice or a lesson or a saying.
I'm gonna I'm going to hijack your question, if that's okay, because I don't have an answer. Nothing comes to mind, but I'm going to tell you what I learned, and this is really important with exposing kids to anything, whether it's travel, whether it's lifestyle, whether it's reading, education, anything. I was 12 years old, I want to say. The first time I visited, so I have you guys have godmothers, right? You know what that is, like a mother, godfather. Okay, so my godmother lived here in Texas, and visiting her at the age of 12, seeing that she had a single family home that she owned, she had the nice car, the husband, they had these careers. My god sister, was an athlete in high school. And I was like, wow, I don't have that. And I didn't have exposure to this in my immediate family. There weren't people who owned their own homes. They lived in public housing or they rented. Some people didn't even have vehicles. So then at 14, I started spending a lot of time with my godfather, not married to my godmother, who also lived in New Orleans. And again, single family home, two parent households, household, two vehicles. And I was like, I want this when I grow up. And I used to watch The Cosby Show, and I was like, I want this. So I don't think you have to, as a kid, you have to personally be given the advice or by anybody to pick up on things and gravitate toward those things that you want for yourself. So it's something that I wanted for myself. And I appreciate being exposed to seeing that, because that could have been the reason why I pursued those things, whereas other people didn't, right? So exposure is so important. Just traveling, having kids and taking them to other cities, states, countries, they get that exposure. So it definitely helped me. I would say identify the things that I wanted as I became an adult.
Yeah, I love that way to hijack my question.
Yes, you're welcome, Rashad, anytime.
It turned into an
Anytime.
answer. Yeah, as you mentioned, I think exposure is the most important thing for sure. It's not always what we're told, it's sometimes just what we see, which I think is great that it worked out for you. I just get deep, man. I'm sorry.
No,
Let's keep
that's okay. That's okay.
it going. So if you didn't do this, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh, wow. Well, I will. Here I go again. I'm sorry, Rashad. I'm sorry.
Rejected. Jeez.
It's see, your question, it's gonna take me down that road. You said you get deep, I'm gonna get deeper. Okay, so my
What?
sister, well, my company, LBH, that's my sister's initials, LaChance
Okay.
Breon Hampton. When my sister passed at her service, this was shortly after Wakanda Forever came out.
Okay.
And she had seen it with the kids, and I don't know, just something made me say, we called her Reenie. Reenie. And so when I got up and spoke, I say Reenie forever. And each time I would post on social media about her, showing pictures of her, anytime, just remembering her, I would always hashtag it Reenie forever. So I formed a company that's going to be a nonprofit, and it's going to help kids that lost their parents. Or their guardians. So I wanted to do a nonprofit that would do outreach, because my nephew, my sister's son, was 9 right before he turned 10 when his mom passed, and my sister was 17 when our mom passed away. And so I just feel, that, some of that life skills can kind of carry over too. But I really want to help these kids, because I can imagine how angry that they could be as a result of losing, a parent or guardian, as at a young age and having to navigate. I remember my sister's, angry was angry, and I don't want my nephew to feel that way or feel that he's alone. And so I want to pour into the kids and take them places and, develop skills with them. I have a nephew who's an artist. And so he can teach them, art. So I just have this vision. And so I would be working with these kids, and helping them develop life skills and building confidence. I think that was the main motivator. Because when you don't have one of your parents, I think that that's a blow to your confidence because you don't have them cheerleading you on. You don't have those life lessons, and especially the mom since they're the, maternal, and I don't even think that the schools realize it, Rashad, but they have like muffins with mom and, all these mom theme or just parents, right? I think they should change it to like parents or guardians, but mom specific stuff, how that can hurt kids. Not just mom, I'm thinking about my nephew, but when you
No, but
get mom or dad specific, some kids don't have a mom or a dad, in the traditional sense.
yeah, no, that's yeah, you did go deeper. So I appreciate
Hey, just
that.
matching your energy, just matching your energy.
That's not too many people can do it, man. People get lost after a while. I think that's beautiful. I think I haven't had a significant experience with grief to that point. I haven't lost a parent. But I hear it all the time. I hear all the stories. I work with kids. I work with high school boys, especially my clients. They have like I hear it all the time, and how everybody navigates through that is so uniquely different, and it's really powerful when I see people honor people in a way past that, because I've seen people just be taken out by that. It's grief. It's
That's right.
it doesn't go away. That's the one thing. I think people think it goes away. It doesn't. It's just you learn how to live with that and adjust with that. So seriously, though, thank you for sharing that. That means a lot. I guess my next question for you is not really about the situation. How can people help support that vision? Do you have like a vision of like building a
Yeah, well,
center or
right
something
now
like
it's
that?
just the company is formed. So of course with nonprofits, there's a process. But I will pivot to putting my time and attention in that. The life skills is, the I look at it as this, like my life skills work is a way for me to give back as well, but also to take care of myself. So I need to be able to eat. So I need to work with these nonprofits and, these organizations that have this government funds and hopefully one day in, in the high schools. And then the nonprofit, which is called Rainy Forever, that will be just working with those kids. So once I get my feet under me completely, where I feel like this is kind of running on autopilot, I can dive more into that. And it doesn't take much. I've been doing my research, so I know what I need to do and to get that off and running. But right now it's just so it's not, I'm not doing anything with it just yet. But I just wanted to make mention because you asked, what would I be doing? I would devote my time, to establishing the nonprofit.
No, I love that. My final question for you, as I like to ask everybody, what does it mean to be human to you?
Oh, wow. Transparency. There's a lack of transparency. And when I meet people tend to gravitate towards me because of it, because I guess they're like, gosh, she talks about all kind of stuff. I mean, there is nothing off limits. And I find that that is what's most common with all of us, but yet it's something that we don't really share. We don't talk about, the struggles that we have in our personal lives or even professionally. A lot of people suffer in silence. So when I meet people, they will just automatically tell me some of the deepest, sometimes darkest, and some things that you would just never want to share with people, but they feel very comfortable with sharing that with me. So transparency, like we're human, we're people, we make mistakes, we're not perfect. And I think we just need to be more transparent to show our humanity and humility as well.
I agree. That was well said. And I appreciate you taking the time. This is really has been informative, powerful, and transparent. I know we could go for like 3, 4 hours because I have a million questions that
See,
I'm
I have
sitting
that
with.
effect on people. I just told you
I
that.
might have to do a, I
Totally.
might have to do a part two with you because I do have a lot
Totally.
of questions that I think.
That's not the first time this has happened, Rashad. I always make people have a part two. So just, I'm gonna have to put that out there as a disclaimer. Yeah, you're gonna have to do a part.
You're
You
gonna
have to
have to
chop
pick
and
it.
screw this up and get you a part two.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. It's a lot more. I think we could dive into for sure. And I appreciate you taking the time. And I know you mentioned it before, but where can people find you on social media?
LBH, so just in case my New Orleans dialect isn't clear, L is in Larry, B is in Brad, H is in Heather, Life Coaching. That's where you can find me on Instagram. My web landing page is also LBH, Life Coaching. And my email address is lifeskills@lbhlifecoaching.com.
I appreciate that. And that will be in episode description for those who end up listening to the episode. Chantrese, I really appreciate this.
Thanks,
We
Rashad. I
will be doing a
appreciate
part.
you. Wait,
We'll be doing.
don't try to wait, wait, before you end this, I appreciate you. And let me
Oh,
just
no.
tell you, I don't know when, but I outreach and I was inquiring about it. This is just for us. If you want to leave it in there, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I saw the thread and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I think this would be an opportunity for me to be able to share my story, but it needed to align with the things that I was doing, because I have opportunities, I'm sure we all, to just kind of talk about what we do, but the
Sure.
platforms don't really work. Like some of the platforms is totally like entertainment, right? And it's just like, okay, if this is about rap or music, I don't see my lane here and how
Not
impactful this
gonna
is going to
fit.
be, right? So but I want to get my voice out there, my presence out there, and what I do. And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is a great opportunity. Let me research, let me do a little bit more. And so thank you for what you're doing, because I know that, for us all, right? This is, it's not easy, to show up and to be consistent. And then you're talking to, people, and you're giving us an opportunity to share our stories. And all, well, not me. I was going to say most of us have a full-time job, and then we're also doing our content and we're doing our podcast and all these things. So I just wanted to say shout out to you. Like, don't ever, just not pat yourself on the back and give yourself credit for what you're doing, because you're, it only takes one. Listen, I was watching and guess what? I followed Andre as a result. You know what I mean? So, and then I was telling people about that interview. So Andre maybe get more followers. You may get more followers as a result. So that's all it takes. So I definitely support what you're doing. I admire your journey from what I know so far. So I appreciate that and wanted to just let you know.
That's so kind. That's kind.
You're
Yeah,
welcome.
I'll be honest. Accepting compliments is not my strong suit. It's not.
Need a life
Definitely
coach.
could.
I can help you with
Yeah,
that.
because somebody was like, how are you helping clients that you don't, you struggle with certain things? It's like I have such a motor and a desire to help people out that, sometimes I just realize I do need to take a step back and smell the roses. So I really
Right.
do appreciate the
Absolutely.
reminder. But again, my goal with this right now is to, again, get people to platform. 'Cause I understand, man, like this space of creativity and sharing stuff, people want you to pay and, and maybe I'll get there at some point. Right now, that's just not who I am. 'Cause I think we all are doing a lot of amazing things as human beings, and it's important that people get the opportunity to share those things. I wouldn't have learned any of that just based off of your content alone about your life and your experiences. And so I think for me, it's just, again, that building connection. And yeah, I will say this episode, and I will say Andre's episode definitely opened up my eyes to that for sure. 'Cause I'm like, well, Andre's from Detroit. I've never met Andre a day in my life. And then I started thinking about all the other people who I've
Right.
interviewed, and I'm like, I have never met these people a day in my life, and I feel like that I'm just grateful that people give me a chance to be a part of their journey. So I say that when I see everybody winning, then I'm winning in that sense. Just don't forget about me.
Same, listen. And you're in Houston,
It's
hit me up. Hit me up. I don't feel like I'll have a need to be in St. Louis. Are you in St. Louis right now?
Wow.
I'm
Wow.
just
Oh my goodness.
saying. I'm just saying. Nothing
Wow.
exciting comes to mind.
Why
I'm
everybody
just
be
saying.
doing
I was
my
being,
whole
I see
time?
transparency. See, I didn't get up here and try to like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be. No, I won't be in St. Louis. I cannot see any reason I would be there. But if you have something and it's like, hey, I will
Wow,
definitely support.
I
But
take,
if you come to Houston, I could definitely take you
I
and show
was,
you a good time here.
I
So
appreciate that. I actually was in Houston. I was in Houston in February. I'm trying to make my way back there
yeah.
at some point. I got a lot of friends down there, so I need to make my way
Okay,
back.
well
I
then you
love
need to go
Houston. I just don't
there.
like y'all. I just don't like y'all zoning. Y'all zoning is terrible. Y'all traffic is terrible. Things like that, but it's a beautiful place, so I'm not gonna hate on it too much. I'm not gonna do what
Perspective,
y'all, I'm
Rashad.
not gonna do what y'all do to us, you know.
Perspective, Rashad. There's a lot of opportunity. There's great people, great
Yeah,
food.
I see the upset.
Perspective.
I think Houston's great, though. I do, I really do.
No. I'm not selling you to come live. Like we always say, we don't need any more people. You just talked about that traffic. No. I am just saying, yes, while that is some of the opportunities, there are some really great things about Houston.
I agree. Well,
Perspective there.
I'm gonna push.
Perspective.
I'm gonna put on the way on the side of the comment about St. Louis and what everybody else says about St. Louis. It's okay. I will move forward and have
Okay.
perspective. So, I appreciate that. And for those listening, make sure to check out our stuff. Again, this has been another episode. Make sure to subscribe. And until next time.